You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
To jump into a lovely little kōrero with Lisa Crawley, LA-based Kiwi singer-songwriter and four-time APRA Silver Scroll Award nominee. She's released her newest indie pop single, Hurry Up and Wait. It blends nostalgic 2000s-inspired guitar with shimmering indie pop hooks and perfectly captures the emotional ambiguity of relationships and life in LA. Lisa continues to carve out a unique Trans-Pacific career, connecting audiences from Auckland, Tamaki, to Los Angeles. How are you, Lisa?
Kia ora, I'm good. How are you this morning?
Good. You are in Queenstown at the moment?
I just got back last night. Oh, yeah. Back to Auckland, Tamaki. Yeah, so it's been, did a couple of days in the South Island and finally went to Milford Sound. I'd never been before.
Nice. So.
There was a double rainbow. It was awesome.
All the stops were brought out for you by nature.
I know. Yeah, that was a wonderful trip.
And you must be zipping all over the place, right? Because you performed at Big Fan recently, did you?
I did, yeah. That was last week. I actually had never played there before and I'd been super curious to check it out. And yeah, it was a wonderful show. I got some of my oldest musician friends. I'm not literally the oldest, but people like my drummer I've known since I was 4 years old, Alistair Deverick,
wow.
Who's in, you know, and people I'd gone to uni with and been in other bands with. So it was, yeah, it was really special to have those guys play with me. And yeah, it was lovely.
Nice. How's it been playing again in New Zealand after being away?
Oh, so nice. Yeah, I really missed it. I wish I could be doing more shows. I was here last year. There's a guy, Greg Johnson, I was playing with, and I did a couple of my songs on that tour. But, yeah, I just wish it could have been more. But great to do one in Auckland and to see old friends and people show up I haven't seen in years. So
Yeah,
so lovely. Felt really, really grateful.
Are the crowds very different when you're performing in LA versus New Zealand?
I think so. I think sometimes just the nature of people can be a little bit different. A lot of the gigs in LA, depending on what you're doing, like you can put on your own show and make it yours with other bands and combine that. Like you see a lot, like, you know, lineups that are curated. Other times it's just like different artists are thrown together and people might only stick around for their set or something. But yeah, but there actually are some really wonderful songwriter nights and communities that I've, you know, it takes a while to get to find your place.
Yeah.
But really, really nice community of musicians and, yeah, songwriter nights. And I've put a few shows on with my band as well. And
nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it can really vary. I think that there's every kind of person there. There's people that just really, you know, it's like very transient and what can they get out of this sort of thing and networking. And other people are like just there to sit down and listen to music.
And
I'm authentic. So once you find those people, it's an awesome place to play. And lots of little, played all sorts of random gigs, just ended up in, you know, yeah, it's fun. It's a fun town.
Adventurous.
Exactly.
Now, this new track of yours, Hurry Up and Wait, it explores missed connections and bad timing. What was the story behind the song? Was there a certain experience or are you drawing from multiple?
Yeah, I think just, you know, I'm someone that has sort of, you know, that whole, I don't know, sliding doors thing. If you hadn't done this at this time, something would have happened. Like it took a while for me to move to LA. It had been on my mind for a while, but just the timing of things. And I suppose I was writing about that in a career sense, like, you know, just one day different. You could have had this awesome tour or something, but also in the sense of like, I noticed just in that world, even with gigging, like people are always looking for the shiniest thing all the time. And so you, in relationships and especially like when I dabbled in online dating, it was like, it was just sort of like a fast food sort of mentality. And and people are like more interested when you're not as interested in it. So it just felt like there was a lot of games around that. And there has been in the gigging world as well, like a lot of people like, oh, hey, we should work together. We should do that. You know, and it's sort of just about like, okay, well, do you actually mean that? And, yeah, so it's meant to be kind of a light take on a few different just avenues of mistiming and what could have been. It's also kind of a diss song, you know.
I imagine like the Kiwi sensibility has some clashes with the LA sensibility. And like what you were saying, where in LA it's kind of shiniest thing in the room. Sometimes people just say things because they're trying to, you know, make that networking. And in New Zealand we're quite authentic and don't often say things when we don't truly mean it.
For sure. And often people there will take you at face value if you sort of play yourself down and try and, you know, practice humility. Mm. So I play a bit of music, and they're like, oh, okay, well, I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and here's my QR code and that.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like trying to find the middle ground, because I think some of being there has been positive in the sense of, like, you really have to back yourself more.
Yeah.
And not play down things. But it's, I think, like, there's a happy medium, and I think, yeah, once you find that, and a lot of the people that you do want to hang out with aren't really out there, like, bigging themselves up all the time. They're just at home working on stuff. But it is hard to try and get yourself out there without being, you know, too desperate and stuff. Like, there's conferences you can go to for getting your songs on TV, and it's I've always kind of just tried to do things in a subtle way and make connections on my own way. When I moved there, it was a month before the pandemic, so I didn't have any gigs lined up, and I had to go and, like, find work when things were opening up. So it was a lot of just going and watching other people and taking a genuine interest in what they're doing, and trying not to steal their gig. But there's a lot of people that will not come to your gig, but they'll ask how you got that gig, and then they'll try, you know, it's sort of like, can you get me that gig? Well, how about you come and watch for a night? You know?
Yeah, just enjoy yourself for an hour or two.
Yeah, it is like a really, it's a bizarre place that can be really, really wonderful. And I've also been the victim of con artistry there, like towing company, you know, there's all these different things.
Yeah, so you also released an EP that was piano and vocals covers.
Yes.
And that spawned out of some kind of setback is what the press
setback
said.
Yes, setback is like a nice way of putting it. Yeah, someone basically told me that there was a song that really needed recording for a TV show, and part of what I love doing is reinventing songs on the spot and maybe turning a song into, you know, a different interpretation. And so they kind of played on that opportunity and kind of just got pockets of money out of me when I was, they were very, very good at doing that. And it turned out the song never needed to be recorded, and they pocketed the money that I paid for the studio and thing after thing. But it turns out a few weeks after that they were publicly found out to be doing this to hundreds of people. And I think part of that, when they were talking about opportunities and a bit of name dropping, I go, oh, you know, sometimes maybe as Kiwis we can cringe at that sort of thing. Mm. But then I was like, am I just doubting? Am I just being too negative? Is this could be real? But I think what I learned is just go with your gut all the time. But as a result of that, I had someone filming that, because the guy wanted to put it on his YouTube channel, like this cover. And anyway, he didn't show up for a few hours. So I was just like, okay, well, what do I do now? I've just recorded my EP already. I'll just bust out some covers in this beautiful studio, which is Village Studios, where, you know, Smashing Pumpkins, Fleetwood Mac, and it just had this beautiful piano.
Amazing.
So I just kind of, like, wanted to do something with that, because I don't like wasting those opportunities and having such a nice piano.
And you still got something out of it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I just kind of made up. And they're all on YouTube as well, all those songs.
Nice.
You can watch them being recorded live as well.
Oh, beautiful. And now let's get onto the track. 2000s inspired nostalgia, kind of. That's very big in pop at the moment. I see. What drew you to that sound?
I think I've always kind of been a sucker for that that sound. Like, I didn't grow up with necessarily a lot of cool music. I was, like, into show tunes, and I was, like, very involved with, like, playing in the church band and stuff like that. So I wasn't till, like, maybe, like, I was a bit older when my first boyfriend introduced me to, like, a lot of the bands that I turned out to be my favorites, like, in the, you know, in the 2000s, maybe like 2007, 2008, and just really loved just bands like Yeah Yeahs and The National and The Strokes and that kind of thing. And the guy that I worked on that song with kind of had a couple of ideas, and I really, we were kind of similar in some of our influences. So he'd come up with a few riffs, and then I wanted to add my kind of omnichord and clarinets, just to sort of add my touch on it to have some consistency in my sound. But I have been listening to a lot of that sort of music, and I've actually been doing a project with the Australian artist Alex Cameron, who's
opening for Alex Cameron.
Yeah, so we just did a gig where I sort of reinvented some Strokes covers at a venue called the Dresden, which is known for being in shows like Mad Men. It's like really old school, and I've had a residency there for a few years. And so he decided Oh, why don't my cousin Mark Perkins recorded produced his some of his latest stuff, and they were both at the Dresden, and I often get friends up to do a song, and I was like, oh, why don't you do a cover of a Strokes song? So, and then he was like, that led to him thinking about possibly doing a whole album of Strokes covers live. So yeah, my job was to sort of lead a trio and kind of make them more of like a bossa version of a Strokes song and stuff. So anyway, love that kind of decade of music, and I just sort of leaned into that. But I also go, oh, I want to make it a little bit different and have like a bridge that kind of goes in different directions. And been playing the recorder since I was four, to some people's dismay. And I was like, oh, let's like make it a little bit more different and have these kind of things there. So, and then there was another woman, Ashley, who was in the room as well. So it was kind of a collect, three of us that, worked on it, which was different to how I used to write and record. But just being in LA, there seems to be more co-writing going on. Well, a lot of co-writing going on. I did the APRA song hubs in LA, which was awesome too. So there's more collabs going on with Kiwis and stuff over there too.
I feel like, isn't it funny that a recorder is the one instrument that almost everyone in New Zealand has played at one point because
I
they get you
know.
on it immediately?
The disinfectant, you have to put it in, or
I
like,
know, I
I think
know.
it's turned into the ocarina now. I don't know what's going on, but I would have all of the different recorders, like the small one, the big one, and sometimes I'm in the drive-thru at Taco Bell after a late gig, and I'll just wait while all the Americans are getting Taco Bell and practice the recorder in the car because it's how cool I am.
Connecting yourself to the music, you know, fully.
Play along to the radio. Yeah.
And I would definitely see that strokes at the beginning of the song. I was like, oh, these are really like strokesy, cool guitar.
Oh,
With pop music, which is kind of always playing on what's going on at the moment, but then trying to find your own way to reinvent it and build on a sound or make it your own. How do you navigate that process? Is it something that comes really easily to you, or do you sit there and go like, oh, I really don't want this to sound like something else that's happening at the moment?
Yeah, I think I'm not really like, I've never been like a super trendy songwriter. I've just kind of like written stuff and hope, you know, and just if people were gonna show interest in it, that's cool. But I'm not like constantly checking like the Billboard Top 40 and like going, okay, what kind of do I need side chain in the song? Or that's just like not really who I am. But I guess I love so many different kinds of music, and I work online writing lyrics. People can hire me to write lyrics for something completely different, like, and I just love lots of different kinds of music. So for me, I'm like, is it as an artist, do I want to have some consistency in the sound? Is it okay to like lean a bit more into this? And I think more and more people are like, you know, accepting of a song that has a bit more. I mean, I just put out a pretty mellow piano covers album, so it's a bit of a different sound, but I think that's okay because it's still my voice and that. But yeah, I do try and think, okay, is this something I relate to? Because some of the co-writes that I do might be done, recorded, and written in a day. So and then I go away being like, oh, can I, is this really what I want to say? So I do try and like consider what might represent me. And I think lyrically, upbeat melody, sometimes with more melancholic lyrics, is sort of something that I tend to do a lot. And yeah, so I do try and keep some consistency, but I'm also like, think it's okay to have a song. Like today, I just got asked to. I did a cover of an old song to pitch for a trailer, like a movie trailer sort of thing. And they're like, oh, can we put it out under your name? And it's like, oh, what do I think about that? And is that okay to have something that's completely different? But I think people kind of get it now, especially with streaming,
And LA is
that.
a bit of a gig economy, right? Like you're always doing little side gigs.
Oh yeah, all the side gigs. I'm the queen of side gigs.
And can we do upcoming projects?
So I need to go back and write way more songs now. So that's my plan. Got my visa sorted and all that stuff. So go back and the artist visa is no small thing at the
No.
moment to get it. So I've been playing in Vegas. I've been playing till 3 in the morning in Vegas, trying to pay that
Wow.
stuff off and all sorts, like you name it. So yeah, now that's sorted, and I've got a couple of trips. Another band playing keys and singing. We've got a tour in Canada in September and October. I've got a bunch of other little bits and pieces, but yeah, then I'm really gonna just. I mean, I've got new songs in the works, but yeah, really try and do a full album because it's been so long. Like financially and just from traveling and the way things have gone, I've just been releasing EPs. So a goal of mine is to really have that new album out next
year. Amazing. Exciting. Yeah. Something to look forward to.
Yeah.
And now one final question to end our time together here on the program. What is the weirdest venue that you've played? Like,
oh my gosh. I mean, I don't know. I've been hired to play for just like one couple, like in the lounge.
Oh.
For like, I don't know, it was some romantic dinner or something, but I did feel kind of weird about that. But it's definitely not the weirdest. I'm trying to think, like, oh man, there's so many weird ones. Like, I think one really depressing one was when I got hired to do some corporate event, and then, you know that song, it's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll. I had to change it to like the lyrics to be about property or something.
Ooh.
And I was just like, my soul was like, holy shit. Like, you know, it was just like a lot. And then, oh, another weird gig was when I moved to the States because of the pandemic. I was like saying yes to everything when gigs were opening up because literally can only make money from music there. And it was like this place, Knott's Berry Farm.
Yeah, I don't know if
you've heard of that.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I've been vegetarian since I was 8 and I had to play like at this barbecue area with like just Americans graphically eating barbecue in front of your face while you play Christmas songs and have to like have the words berries in the melons. Yeah, that was probably like one of the weirdest gigs. But I played in a tunnel opening in the North Shore in Auckland. You know, like it's just...
Yeah, varied.
Played at Chicks Hotel a bunch when that was there. And Dunedin, you know, like it's, every kind of... I feel like it's like probably the Concords on crack sometimes in my life, the gigs that I do.
Yeah. That's a great way. You should put that in your press release.
I played at Sharon Stone's house for a party.
Wow.
For 12 women talking about really personal stuff while I was just sitting there playing. And it was just... the random ups and downs, yeah. I don't think you have long enough to let me list all the weirdest gigs, but I'd have to have a think about the weirdest.
Yeah. Yeah. Next time we get you on the program, you can have that one at the ready.
It could be a segment, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Overheard, yeah, the things I overhear sometimes. It's like, oh my goodness. Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining me on the program, Lisa.
Thank you for having me. It's been good to chat.
The track is out now across streaming. Anything else you'd like to say to our listeners?
Oh, you can check out the music video for this one. I filmed it a few weeks ago, actually under the table, worked at a drive-in cinema when I was just trying to get some extra money in LA to survive during the pandemic. And it was just an awful job. And this is filmed at the actual little cinema that's owned by the same company that I worked at for a bit. So it's kind of full circle doing a music video at this place where the boss made me cry a bunch and just was like this awful place. So,
oh no.
I kind of love that it's filmed there and it's sort of about working in a cinema, kind of dreaming of other things. And it kind of goes into this dreamland. So you can check that out. It was a lot of fun to make.
Beautiful.
On YouTube.
Exciting.
And thanks for the chat.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Have a great rest of your day.
Cool. Bye. See ya. Bye.
That was Lisa Crawley on the program to talk about her new track, Hurry Up and Wait, the 2000s nostalgia field pop anthem. I have it at the ready here. We're going to play it in just a moment. We're coming up to the last half hour, or rather we're in the last half hour of the program today. We also had Delaney Davidson earlier talking about his new album, Baby Heavyweight. From here on out, it's just you, me, and some songs. I hope you are enjoying your Rameri morning. Remember to go and check out the gig guide for any gigs if you're sitting there twiddling your thumbs thinking about what you're going to do tonight or for the rest of the weekend. But aside from that, here is Lisa Crawley's track on the one. It's Hurry Up and Wait.
Take two. Rain checks and rainy days. Forecast nothing new.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.